Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. Now, live, this is Close Up Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jim Masters, your host, and welcome to CU TV News Radio Live Worldwide. We are welcoming our American and Canadian as well as global audience this evening once again for another exciting, insightful, and empowering broadcast. And we always thank our audience for tuning in because they always tell us that they listen intently and they're always learning new and exciting things from our special guest experts who we feature here exclusively on our show and our broadcast series. We're continuing our series this evening with somebody who is quite amazing at what she does, and she's been doing it for some 40 years. Her name is Dr. Marjorie Rand, and she is considered a pioneer in the field of somatic psychotherapy, which is a holistic form of therapy that embraces the powerful connection between body, mind, and spirit. Dr. Rand studied at the famed Aislinn Institute and through the Association for Humanistic Psychology and the Association for Transpersonal Psychology. She has been a psychotherapist for nearly 40 years. She is perhaps best known as the author of the seminal Body, Self, and Soul, Sustaining Integration, which was published back in 1985 with Dr. Jack Rosenberg, which explores integrative body psychotherapy. We're going to discuss all of that and so much more. There's a lot to get to, and there's a couple of different websites we're going to mention because she does a variety of different things. So we'll talk about all that this evening as well. But without further ado, because we do want to jump right in, direct from Manhattan Beach, California, our very special guest, Dr. Marjorie Rand. Dr. Rand, a real honor and a real pleasure to have you back with us here on CU TV News Radio. I know you're very busy, so we thank you for taking a moment or two out of your busy day to join us here once again. Welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's very nice to speak with you.
You again, as well. Yeah.
We've
done video,
we've
done radio shows. Yeah. Because what you do is so absolutely amazing, and it's incredible work that you do, and I applaud you for it. And there's a lot we want to get to, but I'm fascinated when I speak with guests about sort of the light bulb moments, those sparks that they have in their own life that direct them to do the kind of work that they do. What was your inspiration or your own journey briefly on your own path that you think inspired you to do this work and make it your mission and pretty much your calling in life, Dr. Rand?
Well, you know, I was in a sort of a revolution, I guess you could say, like a cutting edge of the field, although when I was in it, I didn't know I was in it at the time. I had been a dancer since the age of 5 years old in ballet, and I came from Minneapolis, Minnesota to go to college at UCLA, and I was in the theater arts department, and I was studying dance, and I was in choreography, and for whatever reason, I ended up being in the field of dance therapy, which was a brand new field that I didn't even know existed. But in my studies in dance, I ended up taking classes in dance therapy. And I had teachers who came out from New York and teachers who were already in Los Angeles. And I ended up actually studying dance therapy and becoming a dance therapist back in the late 60s. And also, I studied again, as you mentioned, at Esalen Institute, also back in the 60s. So that's a long time ago. And I studied with, you know, incredible people like Gabrielle Roth and Emily Conrad, people who are no longer, you know, with us on this plane, and Dr. Jack Rosenberg also, who is my co-author, actually, with In Body, Self, and Soul, which is a seminal book on somatic psychotherapy, or the integration of body, mind, and spirit. That book was published in 1985. Anyway, I sort of fell into the field of dance therapy, now called dance movement therapy. But it wasn't a license to practice therapy. It was a certification. And you could really only practice it back in those days in psychiatric hospitals. And I did not want to work in a psychiatric hospital with, schizophrenic people, you know, just like throwing balls back and forth and that kind of work. I didn't want to work with mental illness. I wanted to work with wellness. And we can talk more about that later. But so I ended up having to get a bachelor's and a master's in psychology, and eventually ended up getting a PhD in psychology. So I went back to school when my kids were old enough to not need a babysitter, when they were in junior high, which we called it back in those days.
That's right.
I went back to graduate school and got my degrees and got licensed as a psychotherapist in 1976, even though I had been already functioning as a dance therapist prior to that. But, of course, then I was only interested in working with body and mind integration, coming from the dance therapy background. So I started studying what we called body therapy in those days. It's now called somatic. Soma is Greek for body. So rather to distinguish it from things that are not psychotherapies, like body work, could be massage, it could be energy work, it could be Reiki, it could be all kinds of healing arts that are not psychotherapy, that you do not have to be licensed as a psychologist or a clinical social worker or a licensed marriage and family counselor, therapist, to do. So it's called somatic psychology or somatic psychotherapy to distinguish it from, you know, like massage, for instance.
Absolutely.
So that's
right.
How I got started. And it was the cutting edge at the time. It's now a little bit more mainstream, but still, most people don't include the body with psychotherapy. Mostly it's still just talking, which we call, you know, top-down therapy, not bottom-up therapy. And now with neuroscience coming to the front, it's more and more becoming more integrated, but neuroscience is the brain. And a lot of people are thinking, okay, that's the body, but it's not. It's the brain. And the brain itself is not smart. The brain doesn't know anything that the body doesn't tell it from getting what it gets from the environment. And I can talk about developmental psychology from there. I know you want to know about object relations in the first 3 years of life.
Exactly. That was going to be my next thought. I know the focus of your work, as we're discussing tonight on the show, is body, mind, and spirit, and you use the somatic psychotherapy and meditation. As a developmental psychologist, you believe that we are influenced by events starting at conception and through the first 3 years of life, which is based on the object relations theory. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Dr. Rand?
Yes, well, I studied pre- and perinatal psychology and health for many, many years and taught it also for a number of years, both here and in Europe. And, you know, the theory is that we used to think that in utero was just a blank slate, nothing was going on. And we've known for many years now, like at least 30 years or so, that that's not true, that there's tremendous amount going on during gestation, during the 9 months from conception on forward. It's not the fetus doesn't have a prefrontal cortex, of course, but there's a whole lot going on that we know from Candace Pert's work, The Molecules of Emotion, that she did this incredible research that showed that it isn't just what the mother puts in her mouth in terms of substances like food or drink, but also all of her thoughts. The brain chemistry goes directly into the fetus through the umbilicus. So every thought she has, every feeling she has, also goes directly into the fetus. So we need to be very careful that we separate and make boundaries between our thoughts and, you know, what is going into the fetus. So I work with people, with couples before conception to have a conscious conception and all through the pregnancy. And then if there's any birth trauma after the birth, working with the newborn on their birth trauma. And it's, you know, excuse me, it's really amazing. Now, I can talk more about that. For instance, most therapists don't ask clients anything about their birth. Do they know if they were planned? Do they know if they were wanted? Were they adopted? Was there any trauma to the mother during their pregnancy? You know, there's things like gestational diabetes, or maybe there was a loss of a job or a loss of a parent or a move across the country or anything that was traumatic to the mother during their pregnancy with them. Then there's all kinds of, and birth itself is traumatic, just going through the birth canal. But there's things like, you know, C-section and breech birth and cord around the neck and, you know, all kinds of various things like very long labors. Or I had a client, this is really amazing, so I'll just tell you this one story. This client had been in couples therapy with his partner for years, off and on for years. They've been together for 30 years, married. But they have never had intimacy, really, in their relationship, because the client, the one that's my client, was just not able to be close. And so in my history taking, I always ask about their birth. Well, I asked this client about his birth, and it turns out that he was born to an alcoholic mother who, in general, they will not carry to term. They'll always have preemies. And so he was born 3 months premature, and he's about 52 years of age. So this was back then in the 60s. They didn't have what they have now where you can put your hands actually in the incubator and touch the preemie. Like now, they were isolated. They were even called isolettes. And he was behind three glass walls and was fed with tubes. He didn't weigh even 2 pounds. He was that small. And there was one other preemie that was with him, and that preemie died. But he survived, but he was fed by tubes and never touched by human hands for 3 months until they can take him home. So that's like an incredible bonding injury, you know, but he was able to be, you know, held and taken care of by his alcoholic mother afterwards. And, you know, he did grow up to be a functional adult, like he works and has a job and, you know, went to college, and he actually served in the Air Force, and he did get married. But he is what we call split off, in other words, dissociated, in other words, not in his body. And, of course, the earlier your trauma is, you can't make a defense mechanism because you can't get up and walk away. You can't say stop. You can't say no. You can't cry. You can't say I'm in pain. You can't say please touch me. You can't do anything except leave your body. So this guy has been dissociated for 52 years. So the first thing I had to do was get him back in his body. And in my mind, I thought, this is going to take 10 years. This is like the worst injury I've ever heard. Let alone, of course, he can't be in a relationship. He's not even there. He's not even in his body. Hasn't even been in his body. He's been like a living automaton for 52 years. Started doing the breathing work with him and work on grounding him and getting him present. He didn't know he wasn't there. I mean, seriously, we're going on his second year now. He's barely coming up onto 2 years, and he's present and he's grounded, and he knows the difference between what he's feeling. He's feeling his body. He knows what he's feeling. I mean, it's remarkable. And I don't think that all the therapists he's been to in all the years, no one discovered that piece of information. So, you know, it's really important.
Yeah. You know, these are just incredible and very powerful examples of the work that you do and why you're so brilliant at what you do. Also, part of it, I mean, your skill set, your education, the 40 years, I can go on about all of that, but it's the fact that you're compassionate, empathetic, you're a listener, you establish trust, you care, and you really, really, really deep in your heart want to do everything you can to inspire and empower, encourage, and comfort through the work that you do, which I think is amazing, Dr. Rand. And I know you often say that you work with wellness and not with illness. Tell us what you mean by that. I think that's a very, very positive approach and a positive way to look at things, wellness and not with illness.
Well, thank you for coming back to that. Object relations theory, I want to just go back and finish up on that, usually covers the first 3 years of life, but they don't go back to prenatal. So I include the prenatal from conception on forward to the first 3 years of life. And the object relations theory is that the sense of self gets formed in the first 3 years of life. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say that comes from developmental movement therapy is that when we became bipedal and we could stand up, we could no longer, because of the size of the human cranium, we could no longer give birth to our infants. We had to give birth 9 months premature because the size of the cranium was so large. So when we give birth to a human infant, it can't even lift up its head. It's just completely horizontal. And the entire first 12 months of life, the brain is developed through movement. We learn to, you know, lift the head, and we learn to roll over, and then we learn to creep, and we're moving like a reptile. We creep, or we move like a snake, then we move like a salamander, then like a, you know, like a... not a frog, but I'm trying to think of the name of the reptile I'm in picture. But anyway, and then we do cross-lateral movement and crawl and reach and pull. All of these are neurological action patterns. Every time we do that, we get eventually to sitting, to crawling, to pulling ourselves up on a furniture and then standing and then eventually walking. That develops the brain. Every time we do more movements, we are developing the brain, making connections from the body to the brain. So we're building the brain through the body, through movement, till at the by 2 years of age, we actually have, you know, language coming on, and we have connections to the prefrontal cortex. So that's important that I got from developmental movement theory. So there is no prefrontal cortex when you're born. You basically go through all these evolutionary kinds of stages. And so it takes up until about 2 years of age to even have a sense of being separate from the parent. You know, until you can move away from the parent and then, you know, separate from the parent and know that you are even separate from the parent. But there's so much more I could say about that, and you asked me a different question, and I forgot what it was.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's, we could do multiple hours with you, and I realized that when I did the video, the TV interview with you, it's your work, your body of work is so rich. The question I was asking, which
wellness.
Really,
yeah, wellness.
Yeah, well,
I can do that.
You work with wellness and not with illness.
Okay,
tell
so
us
the
what
theory
you mean by
is
that.
This: that everybody who's born has a sense of self. Or you could call this spiritual if you want to. That when you come in, you are unblemished, but as early as conception, because you can have trauma even at conception. It could be a rape. It could be, I mean, I could think of all kinds of terrible, awful things. But in any case, you know, you could, your sense of self that you come in with, call it spirit, or just, you know, a sense of self. It can be thought of as, you know, a white light or whatever people want to call spirit you're born with. Gets traumatized very early. Could be prenatally. It could be epigenetics is a field now that talks about multi-generational trauma that's passed down from generations, because the egg part of what is you was existent in the ovary of your mother when she was a five-month fetus inside your grandmother. So it could be multi-generational trauma. And I could go into, you know, a lot of stuff about that. But in any case, let's say that that spirit, which is self with a capital S, gets traumatized. And you can't live in a traumatized state very long. You have to develop a defense around it. And that defense covers over the original sense of self that we're all born with. And what happens is that as we grow up over years, we start to identify with the defense or the defensive self as who we are. And we begin to identify that that's who we are. And so as we live in the world and we move from the family to the world, we pretty much live in our defenses. And that's what happens when we get into intimacy with a partner. We can just, you know, navigate work and friends and, you know, social life and school and so forth fairly well. We can function fairly well in the world in our defenses. But when we get into intimacy and we become vulnerable, the defenses don't work. And we open up, and there we get triggered into our original trauma. And what happens is that you never get past that trauma unless you can go into it and work through it and get to touch what's under the trauma. So you have to get through the defenses and work through the original trauma and get that sense of self and identity that you can only experience in your body, because it preexisted the defenses. It preexisted even the development of the brain. It's something that you brought in with you into life. And I don't know how to explain it except for that. It is your sense of self and identity that you came into the world with, and you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper and be vulnerable and go through your trauma and touch upon that. And when you work with both the body and the mind, you touch that. It's a cellular level of being that you touch, where you experience that sense of self and well-being and safety that you have when you connect with yourself. And you always have to connect with yourself before you can connect with another person.
That's right.
That's the best way I can explain it in a short time.
Yeah. Right, right. It's a true self-awareness that is absolutely essential. I want to just squeeze in, because we are running out of time. Like I said, we could chat with you so much more, because, again, you do so many wonderful things. I just wanted to slip in case our audience wasn't aware, that you are also a marriage and family therapist as well, and you counsel all kinds of couple combinations, and you also work with parents and children and friends and gay, straight, living together, married, dating, single, the whole ball of wax, right?
Right. I worked with a group of 10 people in a family business together once. So, couples or groups of all kinds. It doesn't matter. I worked in a conference, a psychology conference, where we picked two people who've never seen each other before to just come up on the stage and work as a couple, and it was amazing. They never saw each other before, but we still, did a couple session with them, and it was it worked really well. So anybody, So 50% of my practice is counseling couples and families and parents and children. I've been a stepmom to 4 stepchildren and 2 of my own, so 6 children altogether. So I have that experience. I'm also a certified divorce mediator. I only work with as an advocate in child custody cases. I'm also a certified yoga therapist, so I do a lot of type of yoga therapy in with my somatic psychotherapy. Yeah, and so I have 2 websites. I've got www.drrand with the DRRAND, bodymindtherapy.com. That's all one word. I also have www.marriagecounselingsouthbay.com.
That is tremendous. And also, the book, where can people get the book? Is that available on the website?
Yeah, I have 3 other books that I've contributed chapters or co-authored. If you just go on Amazon and under books and just put my name there, everything will come up. Also, a number of published papers as well.
And you're also available. We only have less than 2 minutes. I can't believe how quickly Dr. Rand this half hour went.
I know.
It was so incredible. But you're available for speaking engagements and other interactions as well, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've been doing that for years and years and years. So, I speak at conferences or, I'm not at all shy in front of the camera.
Right,
so,
exactly,
You interviewed me for a video that we have that'll be going public, I guess, soon.
Yes, I look forward to people getting a chance to view it, because it goes in even deeper. It's a little bit longer, and people get a real sense of who you are and the wonderful work that you do even more. Dr. Marjorie Rand, thank you so much for joining us on this episode today. Again, I applaud you for the work that you do. I don't know how you have enough hours in the day to accomplish it all, but you seem to have been doing that beautifully. And I hope we get a chance to chat some more, a little bit more in depth, maybe down the line.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Until that
time, it was
time,
my pleasure.
Oh, I wish you continued success in everything that you do. Keep touching lives in the way that you do, because we need more people like you out there making a huge, huge difference. I think you're somebody who would be in more demand now than ever. And I encourage folks to go to the various websites to learn more about Dr. Marjorie Rand. Thank you once again. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did, Doctor.
I did. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Our very special guest, Dr. Marjorie Rand. Thank you for joining us as well. I'm your host, Jim Masters. A real pleasure to have you with us today. For all of us here at CUTV News and CUTV News Radio, we wish you a good evening, and thank you very much for joining us. Bye for now.
Thank you.